Amen. We're turning in our Bible tonight to Luke's Gospel. The Gospel according to Luke in chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I'm reading together from verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterous, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he should touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Amen. Ending our reading there, praying the Lord will bless the reading and the preaching of his holy and fallible word. We're turning tonight to that passage we read together in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And with our Bibles open before God, shall we seek God's help and his power to preach the word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee tonight. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for these things. We do thank you, Lord, for our salvation, for thy salvation. We do thank you, Lord, it cost you the price of your own Son. It cost his precious blood. But Lord, we thank you tonight that we preach the gospel. We know it's free. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We pray for every head bowed tonight. If there's any unsaved in, we pray that thou will speak to them and strive with them and bring them to faith in Christ. And Lord, help us tonight to preach the gospel of redeeming love. And Lord, undertake for us, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Our text tonight is found at the end of verse 13. It's the prayer of the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The greatest preacher to walk the scene of time must, of course, have been the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the common people heard him gladly. They flocked to hear him, every word he said. The Bible tells us, never man spake like this man. And his favourite way, or his usual way, of preaching was by parables, earthly stories with heavenly meaning. And he'd take an everyday thing and apply it to some great spiritual truth. And the people would learn about the things of God. In our passage tonight, we have another parable. In verse 9 it says, he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And it's a simple story about two men who went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, a religious Jew, an Orthodox Jew. And the Bible says in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, and that as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I have. But meanwhile, the old publican, he's standing afar off, and the Bible says he would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so tonight, for a few moments, we want to look at the prayer of the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. First of all, we have the burden of his prayer. It was sin, and it was his own sin. This was a personal burden. He prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't care about anyone else's sin. The burden on his heart was for his own sin. And this was a great burden. In the original Greek, it could be read, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, or to me, the great sinner. So what this man is saying here is, if there's no one else a sinner, he was a sinner. If no one else had broken God's law, he had broken God's law. And if there's no one else going to hell, he was going to hell. That's how great the burden of sin was upon him, upon his heart and life. And we have the guilt of his burden. He acknowledged he was a sinner. He took the sinner's place. He didn't point his finger at anyone else. All he knew was that he was a sinner and that he was going to hell for it. And there was the shame of his burden. He didn't even lift his eyes to heaven. It says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He was ashamed of his sin. So he was. And there was a sorrow for his sin. He repented of it. He forsook it. So he did. And he decided to make his sin a matter of prayer. And he took his burden of guilt to the Lord. God be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee didn't do this. He didn't. He mentioned only other people's sin. He never mentioned anyone else. He says, I thank you, Lord, and that as other men are, extortioners, adulterers, or even as this publican, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I have. It was probably true, but it got nowhere. He was telling the Lord just a good fella he was. Beloved, tonight, all men are sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're a sinner before God, so you are. And your sin is very great, so it is. You may not have murdered anyone or stolen anything or done anything like that, but your sin, it's great enough to keep you out of heaven, and it's great enough to take you to hell. That's how great your sin is tonight, friend, before God. But have you ever felt a burden for your sin? Have you ever felt you're a guilty sinner before God? Have you ever felt shame or remorse for your sin? Oh, beloved, and did you ever make it a matter of prayer? Have you ever prayed the sinner's prayer? God be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you come tonight as a sinner and call upon the Lord and ask the Lord to save you, he will come and he will speak to you and he will save you. And you can go home tonight a new creature in Christ. All things pass away. All things become new. You can go home tonight rejoicing in sins forgiven and knowing it's well with your soul. The burden of his prayer. But then we have the basis of his prayer. It was mercy. It was forgiveness. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And we have the need for mercy. He was a sinner, this man. He knew this. He acknowledged it. He took the sinner's place. Me, the sinner. He knew that one day he would answer for his sin, that God would judge him. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. And there is a judgment coming one day at the great white throne. You'll be judged for your sin. He realized there was nothing he can do about it. Nothing whatsoever. Some people think if they join the church, if they be baptized, if they turn over a new leaf, if they're a good person, that will merit something. But it merits nothing in the eyes of God. There's nothing you can do about your sin. So he called upon the Lord for mercy. And that's what you need to do tonight. If you're not saved, call upon the Lord for mercy. The hymn writer said, we sang it there, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. And that's what happens, friend. You come to the Lord, you confess your sin, and he will save you and forgive you. But we have the ground of mercy. It's the finished work of Christ on the cross. That word mercy, in the original, it could be translated propitiation. And propitiation means the appeasement or turning away of God's wrath against sinners by means of an atoning sacrifice. I'll say that again. The appeasement or turning away of God's wrath against sinners by means of an atoning sacrifice. You remember when the children of Israel were coming up out of Egypt. God told them, God said that the death angel would pass through the land and all the firstborn would die, from Pharaoh on the throne to the prisoner in the dungeon. All would die. But the children of Israel were to take a lamb for a house. They kill the lamb and put its blood in the two side posts and upper door posts of their house. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood of the lamb turned away the wrath of God in Egypt that night. And it's the same even today. Over there in Romans chapter 3 verse 25, Christ is said to be the propitiation for the sins of his people by the shedding of his blood, which turned away the wrath of God. It says there, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. If you're under the blood tonight, the blood of Christ, it turns away the wrath of God. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And of course in the Bible it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's still the need for mercy today. There's nothing we can do to merit salvation. Even our good actions do not merit salvation. In the book of Titus, we read that the works of righteousness that we have done can save us or can do anything for us. The ground of mercy is still the same, friend. It's the finished work of Christ on the cross. It's just not being forgiven for the sake of being forgiven, but it's the finished work of Christ on the cross. And then the blessing of this prayer. Verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Justification. The meaning of justification is declared righteous or acquitted. It's as though he had never sinned in God's eyes. The Shorter Catechism says, what is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace, when he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. And we have the ground of justification. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's not our righteousness. It's his righteousness imputed to us. When you come to Christ, you become a new creature, and the Lord imputes the righteousness of Christ upon you. And when God looks at you, he sees Christ's righteousness. So he does. And the instrument of justification, it's faith. Faith in Christ's finished work. The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The great doctrine of the Reformation. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read, it's by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Beloved, tonight, put your faith and trust in Christ, not in anything else or anyone else. It's Christ, and Christ alone is the Saviour of sinners. And the result of justification, it's peace with God. No longer is the wrath, are you under the wrath of God. You're here tonight without Christ, and you're not saved. The wrath of God abideth upon you. So it does. Ready to burst on your head. And then no longer the curse of your curse by a broken law. You have peace with God. And you have the peace of God for all of life. And this man, it says, even down to his house justified. In verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This man went down to his house justified. He went down to his house saved, in other words. Born again, his sins forgiven, knowing it was well with his soul, knowing he had a home in heaven. And oh, my friend, tonight, you can do the same in this meeting. You've come in here tonight without Christ. Maybe you come here every Sunday night. It's a habit. But tonight you can do something different. You can put your faith and trust in Christ and go down to your home knowing it's well with your soul, knowing your sins are forgiven, and nothing else matters in this world. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you call upon the name of the Lord will save you. The Lord will have mercy on you. The hymn writer said, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, and found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Friend, tonight, you'll never regret getting saved. You'll never regret it in life. The Christian life is the best life. It's a life of joy and peace. You'll never regret it in death, because you'll be able to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And you'll never regret it for all of God's eternity. But if you don't be saved, maybe you'll not regret it in life, but you will regret it at death, and you will regret it in eternity, but it'll be too late. You come tonight to Christ. Put your faith and trust in him. Go home tonight and put your head in the pillow and know whatever happens, you'll be absent from the body. You'll be at home with the Lord, and nothing else matters in this world. If you're not saved tonight and you'd like a word with us, I'm your servant for Christ. We'd love to take this book and point you to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Don't leave this meeting without Christ, without getting saved. May God bless you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you, Lord, for thy gospel and for the power of the gospel. We think of that poor publican went up to the temple with a burden of sin upon him and prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and went back down to his home knowing his sins were forgiven and no more burden of sin. Lord, we pray for everyone in this meeting tonight that thou would speak and save, that thou would do great and mighty things among them. And Lord, we just pray that thou would bless thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.